Acknowledge me.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
I am Vaughn Johnson.
Who?
Smile at you and kick your face off.
I'm feeling with that.
You got me mad now.
You know, you got a bad tickle.
Feeling good.
For all the skeptics and all the people that have a little bit of...
Let me do this again. Oh, it's live, Hal. Sorry.
I love Virgil. I was like, yes. Like, this guy's awesome.
We ride the bicycle in the arena.
With my man, Pots and Pants, Nick Bacone.
That's me.
Are you humanoid? Get ready.
I don't know what the kid is that was a riding it, but he ain't on it when they brought it to the ring.
This gets a man! And I have passed the brain to Dee.
But I don't like it when things aren't going my way.
Don't you dare be sour!
I got him a wrestling
challenge. He don't know nothing else.
You know that wrestling.
Right, he know that wrestling, boy. And he was about to hop over the table. What?
You want an achy, breaking heart? Wanna be fit? Boom! No sleep, no food, no nothing. This maniac is.
You got to want it, man.
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in that land, and welcome to episode 374 of the Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. And yeah, we're back after quite a layoff. For good reason, though.
I'm not happy that we're back, though.
We'll get into that. But we are back. Back at it like we never left here on the Straight Shooters, episode 374. And because we're back at it, we're just going to hang out and just catch up with the layoff that we had here because of Red October that just ended abruptly, I should say. But while we're talking and hanging out and talking wrestling and everything else going on, we will be live watching AEW Dynamite, which was here in Philly last week at the Leocor Center.
It was, and you were there.
I was there. So we can talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, just hanging out session. That's all. Just a hangout session here with the Straight Shooters, here with your boys. Here on a brisk, cold Wednesday night here in Philly that came out of nowhere.
I love it.
I was not ready. I love it too, but I was not ready. But we're just going to hang out here. But before we get into our hangout, let me do my weekly check-in, though. It hasn't been exactly weekly lately. But let me do a quick check-in.
We've talked, just not on the podcast.
Yeah. But... yeah, exactly. Y'all haven't heard the check-ins. But let me do a quick check-in with my main, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone, the Philly Influencer, and Fox PHL, the Gambler. Nick, how you doing tonight, my good brother?
We could be celebrating a World Series championship two nights, but we're here watching Dynamite. So, you know, I mean,
well, the Rangers are doing business, though. So I don't know if we'd be celebrating anything.
Well, you know, the Diamondbacks are the Diamondbacks. You know, I feel like the Phillies would have been a better opponent for the Rangers. So the Rangers didn't scare me in the ALCS. The Astros actually did, just based off last year. But I thought the Phillies were in a better position to take that step this year, and they clearly did not. So, but if I had to commiserate during an episode of AEW Dynamite on the Straight Shooters podcast, it'd be none other than you, Vaughn. So
here we are.
We'll just have to get through it.
We just have to get through it, man. It was fun while it lasted, I guess, right? What you could say about Red October for the second consecutive year.
Yeah.
Disappointing results. Obviously not getting back to the World Series. By the way, on AEW, we're watching Orange Cassidy and Claudio Castagnoli. Is this for the titles for the International Championship? It looks like it.
The ref is holding it.
This should be a banger here because they had a little stare down last week. I was at the show. We'll talk about it. But I like the little stare down they had. And they had Claudio, I think, pin Orange Cassidy. I remember everybody was sitting in the – I went to the show with him. I was like, oh, I guess Claudio's going to get a title shot soon. And here we are next week, International Championship. Claudio Castagnoli versus Orange Cassidy, who I interviewed prior to that show last week in Philly.
How about that?
Go check that out, Wrestling Junkie. But, yeah, Red October, abrupt screeching halt there.
And I haven't done anything – but Red October, so like I've been watching wrestling, but nothing's really like nothing has stuck in my craw. Like I don't remember anything. you know, like I watched Raw two nights ago, and I guess The Miz is turning face. You know, I watched the Collision match between MJF and Kenny Omega. That was great. But everyone was like 3-day build, blah blah blah. I remember that kind of taking over discourse. NXT Halloween Havoc, You know, that was cool. I have yet to watch the what was it, Becky Lynch and
Lyra Valkyria.
Lyra Valkyria. Reminds me of the other name.
Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah. So, you know, my mind has just been like, plus, you know, my job and everything. So, yeah, I'm getting back to the swing of it. So this will be a hell of a program to get back in the swing of it. And then we'll be back to our deep dives in no time. But, yeah, like, you know, wrestling's been good. Like, you know, it's been entertaining. Yeah. We got Crown Jewel coming up with Roman Reigns and LA Knight. That was kind of, like, funny on SmackDown last week. So, you know, it's been entertaining. It just hasn't, you know, the Phillies are clearly above, I guess, wrestling in my life. And now they're not. So now I have to refocus and make sure that I'm good with this wrestling stuff. So you muted yourself. You muted yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I did mute myself. I was letting you have the floor. I'm giving you your flowers here. Now I'm unmuted.
I tried to unmute you. It's like, you're not allowed. He muted himself. And I'm like, no.
We're still getting back into the swing of things here. But I can't understate your importance on the culture of Phillies fandom during Red October. The man was on Preston and Steve during a morning show interview.
Oh, man. That was
wild stuff.
That was fun as hell.
Doing AI stuff, which is like, I'm scared of AI. So you're out here doing technological things.
I just try to make it funny, you know, like I'm scared of it too, kind of. But like, if I could, you know, make it like funny the way, you know, Jim Gardner, you know, the tush puss with Donald Trump talking about it. That's funny to me. So that's the only time I'll
but like, you are literally keeping people engaged with Phillies fandom during the whole season, by the way. But, you know, don't want to understand that neither, but especially during the postseason, and then of course during the Eagles games as well. But during Phillies playoffs, and I know you've gotten the message, I've heard you talk about it with people, and I've seen it in your mentions where people are like from other states, other countries are like, yeah, yo, I keep track of the Phillies through you. Mm-hmm. So you're really providing a service out here, man. So like, this is that Nick Pacone, y'all. That Nick Pacone that you didn't seen, that you didn't aggregate it on your websites. We've done it on Inquirer.com ourselves. He is him right here. All right.
I appreciate that. And listen, I've been doing it. You know, we've been doing this podcast since 2015. I pretty much started that, you know, and obviously not as much because it was harder to do back then. But now it's, you know, I've formulated a nice routine where I'm able to do it as often as I do it. And especially with, you know, baseball, you know, playing every day, and I'm able to, you know, do that, especially with playoffs, even exciting walk-off wins during the season. But you said it, you know, the people saying like, I feel like I'm home when they're like living in California, they're living in Texas, they're living, you know, in Europe, you know, Asia, it's like mind blowing, really, to know that, you know, that's not stuff I even think about when I started doing it. I just remember, you know, through the years, everyone's like, oh, like they would just have the radio call of something and just like the snippet of it, not even, you know, sync to the video or anything, just, you know, a video of somebody recording their stereo or something and posting it. And everyone's like, oh, that's such a great call. But, you know, being able to put it together in a better, you know, audio, a better sounding audio, and then matching it up with the video, I just thought it was a cool thing to do. Did not realize it would, you know, really make a difference in the way people track their teams. So it's been awesome. I appreciate everyone that's not only reached out, but, you know, I needed help with my cat. You know, she's getting older and I have to take care of her, and being able to, you know, put myself out there that, hey, I'm going to need help with this because it's getting kind of expensive, to just make sure her quality of life is better, or as good as it can be, at this point. She's, you know, going to be 17 soon. Yeah, it's just the people, you know, doing that is just like touching, man. Like I made a huge difference in my life. You know, people say I make a difference in their lives. They've allowed me to take care of my cat better than I would have been able to, without that. So, it's just been awesome. Like And that's part of the reason why I hated, you know, the Phillies losing. You know, like, I wanted to go on this ride. I wanted to go, be with everybody at the parade. Like, I was making plans for parade. And I know people are like, oh, you don't want to do that. It's like, man, who cares? Like, the Phillies didn't lose because of my tweets, because of, like, my plans. They lost because they decided to swing at crappy pitches. But,
swing at everything. You know,
I had nothing to do with it. No, none of us had anything to do with it except the Philadelphia Phillies. So, yeah, it's rough. It's been, we're a week removed now. I hate thinking about it. So thank God we have the Eagles being a good team and winning the last couple weeks too. So
hey, and the Sixers got a haul for James Harden too.
How about that? And they look good. Like, they, people are actually kind of doing a little turnaround with them. So yeah, and me included. You know, the Flyers have like a exciting team to watch. They're not crappy anymore. So hey, and the Union are in the playoffs, and you know, they kind of backed into the playoffs. But I guess we'll see what happens with that. But yeah,
they won their first game. It did. And they got 10 days to the next one. It's bizarre stuff. But
dude, what's up with the MLS?
I don't know. I don't know what this, what their playoff structure is. For those that don't know, oh, by the way, we're still in the Orange Cassidy, Claudio Castagnoli match, and we're getting an ad, picture-in-picture ad for a Thanksgiving horror movie. I might have to go see that first day. Okay, and just letting y'all know.
November 17th, okay.
Right. But the Union are in the playoffs, MLS team. The MLS playoff structure is bizarre. I don't understand it. It's like best of three, then it's like two-game series, or it's like a one-game playoff in the next round. Why is it the best of three? I guess they're trying to get more teams on playoff games. That's what it comes down to, really. Owners want playoff games. That's why you expand the postseason to begin with. It ain't like, oh, we want everybody to have fun. It's like, we want more people to make money. Okay? Yeah, let's not kid ourselves. You think baseball owners is happy that only four teams in each league make the playoffs for like 25, 30 years? Mm-hmm. No. That's why there's six teams in this league now. And you're lucky you got that. You might go to eight eventually.
And it's funny because the sixth seed in the National League has been to the World Series the last 2 years once they changed the format. The Phillies last year, the Diamondbacks this year.
It's put the top two seeds at a disadvantage somehow. It's really bizarre stuff. But yeah, that's weird stuff. But yeah, again, can't understate the impact you have on people's fandom. I was just so happy to see you get some flowers out there, much deserved flowers from hell, everybody, all the Phillies fans. And you add to that, you know, people say like Phillies and the Citizens Bank Park, it's like the best atmosphere in baseball, and there's Bedlam at the Bank. I think your calls and help people experience that. They want to see that Bedlam, and they want to not just, you know, obviously every network that has baseball rights, every team, they tweet out their highlights with the TV call, and you get that experience there too. But you get this very biased hometown radio call in a lot of times.
Yeah, when you're, you know, you don't have that TV call. Like,
exactly.
You're not a local broadcast anymore in the playoffs.
Right. So you're not, we're not getting broadcast. Tom McCarthy calling the postseason games. And they're not saying that the announcers that are calling on Fox, TBS are bad. I'm just saying they're not, they're playing it down the middle. At least they're supposed to. But obviously, with Nick's calls, you got Fransky, and he's, you know, obviously, you know, biased with the Phillies. They pay a salary. So
the
he's
excitement, gonna, man. The
it's a hometown call. Just like what you do with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on the Eagles calls, you get the hometown Merrill Reese call. And, you know, you get the Spanish calls. You get in different languages.
Yeah,
like
the opposing call.
He got y'all. Whatever angle you want, he got you.
That's the one that went viral. First pitch of the NLCS, Kyle Schwarber takes yard, and it was the buildup of the Diamondbacks announcers that made it so great. It's like,
yeah, they wouldn't even done the introductions yet, and they were like, and it's gone.
And the funniest part was, like, that was the morning I was on Preston and Steve, and that was game one, and it was just funny. And it is funny when the Phillies lose, you know, you get those Diamondback fans crawling in my mentions, like, hey, why don't you post this call? Why don't you post that call? And I was like, do you know what I do? I do kind of find it funny, but I can't let on that I think it's funny, if you know what I mean. It's like, really, I gotta be like, man, shut up, get out of here. Why don't you do it?
Right. You gotta play up a little bit.
It is kind of funny, but you know, I get same people doing it for when the Eagles lost, you know, they'll post the Jets call. I was like, man, I am not here for that. But
hey, if you got know? The way I look at it, if you got opposing teams fans in your mentions, you out here.
You've
transcended the local fan base. That's how I look at it. That's how I noticed, like, when I run our sports Instagram for the Inquirer, and I see, like you said, when the Eagles lose or when the Phillies lost in the NLCS, You see Diamondbacks fans in the mentions. You might see Jets fans
Braves,
in the mentions.
Braves fans even. Like they were
Braves fans, in. Right. And it's like, oh, we cooking now. Yeah. Opposing teams fans are jumping in. Like, okay. It was definitely a couple Diamondbacks fans that jumped into the mentions once the Phillies lost.
Hey, they had every right to, man. Hats off to them. They took advantage of what the Phillies gave them. The Phillies lost that series, in my opinion. It wasn't like, obviously, the Diamondbacks had to go win it, but man, they can't beat that Phillies team, man. The Phillies team beat themselves, and I will think that for, you know, a long time. One of the biggest chokes in Phillies history, really. And as Claudio Castagnoli swinging Orange Cassidy here, that's how I felt last week when the Phillies lost game.
Dizzy.
So. Ridiculous. Felt
drunk out here. Yeah, it was rough.
It was a quiet night at city. Home. Two games at home.
Yeah, that's tough. You can't lose two games in the best atmosphere in baseball behind you, apparently. That's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow, but there's always next season, as they say.
Apparently they can.
There's no seasons in wrestling, though. This thing never stops.
There is not.
I was at the show last week of Dynamite watching Claudio and Orange Cassidy go out in a tag team match, which I was like, I didn't know I needed to see Claudio versus Orange Cassidy or Claudio versus Okada, but I need to see that one as well. We're getting Claudio versus Orange Cassidy right now. But that was my first AEW show. I don't know. I hadn't had a chance.
Okay.
I hadn't had a chance to get to one until last week. So fortunate to get down to the Leocore Center, not the Wells Fargo Center, but the Leocore Center for this. Only time I had been to the Leocore Center was for like a commencement. So it was like, I think my homie graduated from community college there and they had the commencement there, something like that. When he graduated from community and he graduated from Temple. And of course, also at the Leocore Center. Because this Leocore Center, for those who don't know, is on the campus of Temple University here in Philly. So the building seats like, I think, max 10,000. May not be even quite that much. I don't have the capacity in front of me. But the building was mostly full. It was like, wasn't completely full, but it was a good crowd. I don't know, a lot of discussion have been about, oh, AEW, they're not selling a whole lot of tickets. Look at this terrible crowd. And people are like, well, this during the Ring of Honor show. And it's like, all that discourse, like you said, yeah. Discourse on Twitter can be nuts sometimes with wrestling. And that comes like every week after, I'm sure you'll see it tonight after this episode of Dynamite, pictures of the crowd. Oh, nobody's there. I don't know if you saw that from last week's show, because it was a good crowd in Philly at the Leocore Center. Again, not completely full, but I would say at least 75%. That lower bowl was legit full on both sides, not just the side that was on TV, but also behind the hard camera was a good crowd as well.
You know, you're not seeing pictures like that from places like Philly or Chicago or New York really either. People post those pictures of, lame crowd,
slamming him by his neck.
Now that's what I felt like too last week. Unreal. You're seeing it from like random cities that it's just like, okay, well, maybe they're not those cities aren't necessarily known for their hot wrestling crowds either, you know. It's
and you're also bound you're pulling to
happen.
From
WWE shows have that too, so
right, but you're also pulling from and kind of he's hulking up by putting his hands in his pockets. That's hysterical. he missed a turnbuckle there. He kind of recovered though. But you're also pulling from, in some ways, a niche of a niche. Okay. Like pro wrestling is kind of dope in a way now. Like we're in a good time again with pro wrestling and the tickets are selling and the business is good, especially from WWE, AEW. You know, we don't know all this, the whole situation, but they're doing okay as far as we know, right? But it's still kind of a niche thing. Like, I was walking around for Halloween. My wife was Roman Reigns. She had a head of the table shirt on. I was awesome. Paul Heyman. I was in a suit, and I have my WWE Championship title belt, and I was holding that, and I was walking around, and not everybody knew who I was, okay? And I was like, they were like, oh, you're the champ? Like, no, my tribal chief is the champ. Like, I try to play it up, try to make sure that they knew one person got it. And I was like, yes, now it's worth it. But that's to my point. Not everybody knows, right? Not everybody likes wrestling. So you go into the small towns, already a niche. Then you got, not only you're pulling from wrestling fans, but you're pulling from AEW fans, which probably fewer than WWE fans out there.
The niche,
right?
Of, like, the niche.
Right. So like a niche of a niche. So I could imagine in some towns it can be tough because you're not that many. There aren't that many people there, and you're pulling from a niche of a niche. Where in Philly, obviously, we got over 1 million people here. And even if you pull from that tiny niche, you can still get damn near 10,000 people out of that to show up. So, but it was a good crowd last week. I will say that. One thing I did find funny was that Tony Khan comes out before the show and it's like just hyped up, like, yeah, like that, literally that hyped up on the mic, like yelling into the mic, claiming that Philly is his favorite wrestling city. Because, of course, Tony grew up coming to Philadelphia to ECW shows when he was a child, which should not have happened.
I'm sure he hasn't said that in any other city.
He probably has. But at least there's some credence to this one, because he did.
Well, you can fathom it. It's not unfathomable.
His future billionaire, probably a millionaire at the time, father, brought him to Philadelphia to see pro wrestling, extreme pro wrestling, in a bingo hall in South Philadelphia. Okay. Wait, he at least would watch the tapes of ECW. I don't know if he was actually, I think he said he's gone to ECW shows, right?
I don't even remember.
I think either I know he's watched it. I know he's at least watched it. He loves
on the
ECW
message boards too. So he was on like the DVDR message
right
board.
So. Oh, Orange Cassidy just beat Claudio.
That might be my, like, AW title's nice, but I love that title belt.
The international title?
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Uh-oh. By God. Is Ashley coming out of the entrance? No, I was going to say. It can't be John Moxley coming out of the entrance way.
So I just found, I just confirmed, Tony Khan did attend ECW Arena shows back in the day, which is wild. But he also said it's the best wrestling city in the world, too. Philly is. Yelled it into the mic. And I'm just like, Tony, when are you going to show us some love with a pay-per-view, though? Like, not with a show, you know, what have you done for us lately? We got plenty of dynamites here in this town.
Yeah. It's been four years now. Come on.
Yeah. What the hell is going on here? Claudio's just standing there watching the homeboy get his ass beat right now. Yeah, what?
I can't blame him. He started it.
I have no idea what's going on.
Is that? It's like the first time I've seen Mox wear a white shirt.
Right, it looks like a greaser from.
Yeah, the outsiders.
Oh, out of nowhere. Watch out, Daddy O.
He just keeps going. Jeez. Orange Cassidy. We've sent out security guys and referees here, but John Moxley. Moxley's looking for that bulldog choke. Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Putting his hands on officials, he's going to have to be careful. Where the hell is Orange Cassidy's homies at?
They always have the worst staff. They can't ever do anything.
Where are the best friends?
Maybe we'll see Moxley took care of him before he came out, perhaps. That would make sense, right?
And he's literally got a pair of homies that are called the best friends. I did love when he hugged Okada last week. That was hysterical. For the AEW International Championship now, or since that, the title's traded hands. Okay. Claudio's just still hanging out.
Yeah, Moxley left, and Cassidy's laying down.
Moxley looks
on
like
the
original killer from the first Scream movies right now.
Is that how he dressed, I guess?
He had a white shirt. I think he had jeans on.
I remember the movies because I watched them. I just don't remember all.
You watched the Scream movies? Good Lord.
I did. Hey, MJF. Outside Kenny Omega's locker room.
Oh, man. You trying to find a new partner? Oh. Oh. It's not Jericho in there. Shirtless. What's going on? Oh. Are they trying to conspire against what's his name? Oh, is that Wardlow?
Wardlow, yeah. Everything from me.
Now I'm gonna take everything from you. Oh no. When you least
expect it. Well, you can't warn somebody. I like that up until that point.
How the hell are you gonna be like when you least expect it? You're giving me fair warning.
Right.
I know you're gonna do something.
So wait, he went the other way. And then he ran into Wardlow, and then he went the other. How did the Acclaim know he was gonna go that way when he went the other way first?
They be stalking MJF pretty much. At least Max Caster does, so probably following his every move.
Probably, but
that was really funny to Wardlow. I'm going to get you. I'm not going to see it coming.
I like the fact that he's like, you took everything from me, because yeah, like ever since Wardlow got that win, and he just fizzled out.
That's AEW's fault.
He got hurt too, right?
Your anger is projected. Should be projected at Tony Khan.
So you know, in storyline, you know, like he can blame MJF. You know, he's a heel now. So Wardlow is. I mean, so yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like I could jive with that. Not the whole when you least expect it, I'm going to get you, because that didn't make sense. I think he could have left it at that without the. When you least expect it, like that just makes it not make sense.
I'm always going to be expecting it now. Right. I'm going to be constantly looking over my shoulder for the gigantic man with muscles trying to kill me, like take everything I have. I'm going to be more cautious than ever, actually, Wardlow. Thank you for that heads up, sir.
I might actually pay for protection now.
Right. Where's the APA? Somebody get Bradshaw on the horn. Get Farouk on the horn. I got a big bad Wardlow chasing me down. Thanks for the heads up, Wardlow. Oh, man. Yeah, that's really funny.
Also missed Edge. I don't think we had a chance to talk about Edge.
We did not.
I'm sorry, Adam Copeland.
Yeah.
AEW. I was mad because that episode of Dynamite where he and Christian ended, you know, with that promo, it cut off on my DVR. So,
oh, no.
It stopped right in the middle of that promo, and I was pissed, first of all, at AEW for, you know, why do you have to do this and go overrun? And two, I could have sworn I had, like, the 3-minute recording, like, padded recording on Xfinity.
Because you can set it to have it record an overrun.
Yeah, and I did, apparently, and it still went over that.
Oh, man, it still went past your overrun, damn.
Like, because I checked it, and... usually it says like on time, and then you could like switch it. And my starting time said on time, ending time said 3 minutes late. It's like, wait, and they went past that? Like, get your stuff together. I couldn't watch that whole promo.
The overrun, I don't know why this, I don't even know if WWE does an overrun anymore in Raw. I don't think they do that.
They definitely don't. They definitely don't. NXT is the one that gets the overrun.
I don't know why the overrun even exists in it anymore at this point. For what? You should be able to, if you got 3 hours, you should be able to get everything you need to get done in 3 hours.
Yep.
And if you got 2 hours, tough. Get it out the way. Like, we don't need more of you that much. Phoenix kamikazes himself, sacrifices his own body just to put me down for 3 seconds. And Orange Cassidy is there to pick up the scraps. What a story. That was my match, Orange. That was my match. I showed you respect. I showed you respect when nobody else would. I let you walk out on your own power in Chicago. Damn well believe me, I did not have to do that. What you think was gonna happen, Orange, huh? Did you just write me off? You write me off like everybody else did, like they always do. Sick of you. I'm sick of everybody.
You know, right now, I'm not doing too good. So maybe this isn't even about you, man. Maybe you're just the wrong guy at the wrong place at the wrong time. Doesn't matter. Either way, at Full Gear, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life with my bare hands. And there is not a damn thing you can do about it just because I can.
Still going with Full Gear. It's, you know, we're 4 years in and we still haven't made that name change.
You don't like Full Gear?
I hate it with a passion.
I've heard much worse than Full Gear, like Battleground. That oh, how about Stomping Ground?
That was bad. That was bad.
Bragging the Bash.
Bragging Right was pretty bad.
Bragging Rights. Yeah, just look to WWE for some terrible pay-per-view names.
Like Full Gear. Like
WrestleMania Backlash.
That's fine.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Crowd
Fastlane is not good. They still have Fastlane.
Yeah,
I don't care about that.
I think we talked about it. They made that name because they were in Indianapolis, right? They used that name. Maybe 500-ish thing, maybe.
What, this year's show?
Yeah.
I can see that because it's race car country, yeah.
But you still, know,
Indianapolis 500, I should say.
Still, though.
Still bad.
Weird. Yeah.
Still bad. I mean, remember they tried to do like too many road puns with the pay per views? Like, you had Roadblock. Then you had Roadblock.
You got to pull it out. You gotta pull
right. Roadblock, end of the line at the end of the year. What the hell?
Yeah,
what?
They have one. Two times that year, right?
It was they had it in like yeah, like once in like 3 months. It was like once in like no, yeah, you're right. They had it twice in 2016.
It was like Triple H versus Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that was like in March. And it should have been March to WrestleMania.
December. Right. Yeah.
But they called it Roadblock because it's like road to WrestleMania. This is the Roadblock. We had the fast lane, but Roadblock. And then we're back on the road.
Imagine them having like a live event called Pothole.
They could just do that in South Philly. They could just go down. They could just do that anywhere in Philly. They could do that right outside my apartment right here.
Welcome to WWE Pothole.
Pothole in Philadelphia. We're everywhere. We're going to be on every block.
That's great.
We're going to have a...
And we're coming to that season too. Those
parking spot
around.
On a pole match. Winner gets to park their car right in the middle of the street, like they do in South Philly. Or it's like a the chair on the pole. Like you, winner gets a chair they can put in the parking spot when it snows.
Right. Save your spot.
Right. Claim your spot match. Well, yeah, they went. Yeah, Roadblock End of the Line was the last pay per view of 2016 as well. But then that's why they gave it the subtitle End of the Line. So, like, no confusion here. Right. This is just the end of the line because it's the last stop of the year.
I'm glad that we haven't seen that pop up at NXT.
Roadblock.
That one. Yeah. Man. Like, they have Deadline, which is like kind of a stupid name, but like, it's whatever. Like, it's not a terrible name, but. Of all the names they recycle, I'm glad Roadblock's not one of them.
It won't be one of them. By the way, we have a 6-man tag here.
Oh, yeah.
With the Elite, who are the Ring of Honor 6-man tag champions. Again, another Ring of Honor act who don't show up on Ring of Honor TV that often. Ring of Honor champions, I should say.
That's still like
and
a
they're going against
thing?
The embassy here, the Mogul embassy.
It's still a weekly show they have?
Yeah, on Honor Club, man.
They tape it on Collision Saturdays. Is that the thing? Where they have their own
tape? They didn't tape. Yeah, they didn't tape it on Wednesday. They taped. So that must be Collision Saturdays because they taped Rampage and Dynamite at last week's show at least. So we got to see Takeshka and I forget the other guy's name from Aussie Open, but that was a great match. But yeah, no Ring of Honor. Which it would have been cool to see, you know, back in Philly, a Ring of Honor taping.
Right. Yeah. Why not just swap them, you know?
I don't know. I'm sure you know, Dynamite airs on Fridays, so they probably want to get it. Not Dynamite, Rampage airs on Fridays, so. Remember when Rampage was to be like the big secondary show for AEW? Yeah. I just forgot about that, bro.
They did the same thing WWE did with Main Event.
Yeah.
They brought back Main Event.
Or like Superstars.
Or so. Yeah.
When they brought that back.
Yeah, John's. It was like a Main Event on ION Television. It like had John Cena on like the first episode.
Yeah, and CM Punk and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And they never showed up again.
A month later, it was like, all right, we're done with that.
Right.
But apparently this last week's Rampage episode was really good. I heard good things about it. I have not watched it
yet. Yeah, they had Santana and Ortiz, Pride and Powerful explode, which was they shoot the show in an interesting way. They don't shoot Rampage in the order. At least they didn't last week. And I think they do it because they want, so like they shoot the main event of Rampage first.
Okay. What, like a hot crowd kind of thing?
Hot crowd that's still in the building. They haven't quite left yet. And they started. I mean, they have a changeover, which still people might leave. I'm pretty sure they have a changeover, though, from like main event of Dynamite into Rampage. It's not like it's like right away. It's not immediate. Like sometimes you go to a WWE show and the dark match for like a SmackDown starts like pretty much right after they go off the air. Mm-hmm. There's no dead time where they change over. I'm pretty sure they had a little bit of like a changeover and then got started with Rampage, but it was the main event right away. So I get to your point, like I would assume that's because they want people there, but there's still people who got up and left, you know, but obviously the later you go into the night, the less people are going to be there. So they shot the first match of the show last, which was what was Santana and Ortiz. That was the last match we saw.
So that was the main event of Rampage that aired last on Rampage.
That was the first match of Rampage because they did
in the building.
They did. So what they did was they did Takeshka's first match first. That was the main event. They did his match first, and they did another match. I can't remember what the second match was.
I did not watch the Rampage show yet. So.
Then they did pyro and everything and an intro. Then went into Santana and Ortiz.
Gotcha.
Because that was the opener. So they did pyro. Oh, welcome to Rampage. Here's the opening match. Santana versus Ortiz. But, of course, it's shot out of order. Which, I mean, look, whatever works. I mean, if...
Yeah, you wouldn't even put that on Collision, though? Not even, or Dynamite? Like, a match like that? I can't.
Were you really looking forward to the
Santana? I didn't even know what happened.
Ortiz?
I've been so out of the loop, I did not realize they had exploded, so.
Yeah, they had broken up for a while ago, yeah.
I knew they were, like, trading barbs on Twitter back and forth. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, that must have been, like, 2 months ago at this point.
Yeah, and they had a match.
I've been totally out of it. Yeah.
They had a street fight. It was a good match.
Was it Philadelphia street fight?
It was no, it was not. I just liked how they pretty much still had this, like they had like the same song pretty much. it was like a song that said, I'm from the Bronx. Like pretty much. Both of them had it. But it was a good match though. I give them credit. I'm just not that enthralled by the Elite with the six-man titles, though. It's like they create titles to give them something to do.
Right.
And it's cool. I guess the matches are cool, you know. I'm just not that interested, though. Like, we need something more.
Which is funny, because speaking of titles, I remember for years we're like, the titles are just props. You know, the champions don't feel that important, especially in WWE. But now it's almost like, come on, in WWE specifically, it's like, dude, we need different champions because it feels like the same people have been champions forever. It's just like, here's a swerve out now. Baiting Hangman. Did he go to his house last week?
He did. And with a baby that was just there, left it alone.
So what was last Wednesday? Maybe it was Dynamite. No, I was watching something and I had Dynamite on mute and I saw that and I never went back to it. And then I had read something earlier today. Someone said like, oh, Swerve basically went to Hangman's house and not kidnapped. But like,
no, he just threw his shirt in the baby's crib and talked trash about his dad to this baby. They broke into his house and the baby was just in there by itself. Nobody was with the baby somehow.
Jeez,
you just leave your baby at home, Adam Page, while you go to work? Is that what we doing?
That makes no sense.
Right.
Like, You got to cover for that, right? He's got to attack like a babysitter or something.
You
right?
turned him from the buckshot to the deadbeat. Like, come on, deadbeat Larry.
That's wild.
That baby should not be in that crib. Where that baby had at? Where that baby parents at? So yeah, that's what happened there. Breaking into people's houses. We got Crown Jewel this weekend.
We do.
Saturday during the day.
Love it.
Man. Oh, that wasn't the greatest.
1 p.m. Start time.
Yeah.
We're just in time for dinner.
For us old folks, that's great. Okay. we don't mind early start times. We have new Ring of Honor 6-man tag team champions. Because Adam Page took off and tried to beat up Swerve Strickland after breaking into his house last week. I feel like that'd be the first thing I'd be doing, spawning that man, not wrestling in a 6-man tag.
And now the Bucks are going to get mad at him. Be like, how dare you?
Right. But with that distraction, the Elite have lost, and the Mogul Embassy have the 6-man Ring of Honor tag team titles. Oh, they fighting backstage. Oh, we got picture-in-picture on the fight.
Don't forget, Fight Forever is available now.
Yeah, that's not the only thing they got. They got to have other sponsors to put
that's
there.
It. That's
that's
it.
Been there. That game came out like in June. All right? Okay. And they still have it on the Trons, too, like on the stage. Who's that line
on
the ground?
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Yeah.
Is that Jeff Jarrett? I don't know. But yeah, Fight Forever came out like in June. We can remove that from like the available now thing. Like, World 6-man
tag team champs. Oh, Young Bucks. Oh man. It's the Ring of Honor 6-man titles. Relax.
Young Bucks are turning a new leaf here. They're upset. What's going on here?
They're doing what Jericho did in WCW in 97. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Matt snap for sure. Well, if I'm Nick, I'm like, damn, that's embarrassing.
Slap something off.
You're making us look bad, Matt. Relax. Ah, I guess we'll have the sound on for that.
But Crown Jewel this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to
that this weekend.
Yeah, you get the nice little LA Knight main event appearance.
Yeah, not a win, but an appearance.
No, that's exactly right. it'll be interesting to see how they he almost wins. You know, wonder if they'll just go with more interference from Solo or Jimmy, or you know, maybe Jay tries to cost Roman and accidentally hits LA. They do that type of some stupid. Okay, this okay. This is a great commercial. I have never seen that commercial before until right now. So, yeah, I know. What was I talking about?
LA Knight.
Yeah. So, and I thought it was funny on SmackDown. He's like, I'm head of the table now and doing all that
stuff.
Roman trying to keep the school. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, kind of different that, you know, everybody that Roman's plow through, you don't have this kind of interaction with. So definitely entertaining. You know, hopefully they come up with something creative, because a lot of Roman's finishes have been the same. So I'd like to see something different. What that is, I just don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. So that's obviously the match I'm looking forward to the most. I'm sure there's we have Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio, right?
Yeah, Logan Paul's going to win that match. Speaking of, I got to write predictions. I'll write that tomorrow, I guess, for Crown Jewel. But one prediction you'll get for free here on the Straight Shooter is that Logan Paul is going to be your new United States champion come Saturday. I firmly believe that. It's been he beat Ricochet. I'm telling you that. Like, that's somebody he can beat. And he can beat Rey Mysterio. Obviously, he can beat Rey Mysterio as far as, like, he's a kind of guy, and people would dislike him when he beats Rey Mysterio. I'm cool with him having the U.S. title. I think that's literally the reason why LA Knight doesn't have it right now, is because they're going to give it to Logan Paul. Maybe LA Knight could beat Logan Paul for it.
Would that be something Logan Paul brings around with him when he does, you know, stuff and his boxing matches and whatnot. He could have that around. That
if I'm WWE, you know, that's in the contract, bro. Right. Like, you must take this belt with you wherever you go.
But don't lose it, please.
Right. It ain't the WWE title, so we don't have a big WWE logo on it. Mm. But hell, they might make a new one and put like red, white, and blue on it just so he can walk around with it. But either way, take that title wherever you go, please. And tell everybody you're the WWE United States champion. That's something Logan Paul could brag about.
I would like, the Santos and Mysterio feud that we seemingly are going to get. But does it need the title? Maybe not. Like, you could make probably Santos not with that. Oh. Who's he not? Samoa Joe. Oh, he's going to ask him. No, he's not. MJF's going. Is he up? He's going to go. Darby Allin.
Darby Allin got two doors?
Uh-oh.
He just crossed his name out.
Hopefully he's rewriting Chump. Emo bitch.
He does not like Darby Allin.
He acclaimed her back.
Oh, MJF front. There's a reason why it's an 8-man tag here, right? You got 3 partners to pick. He out here front. No, you're going to pick. Oh, Tony Schiavone's in the ring.
Is he going to introduce Adam Copeland?
He might introduce Ric Flair like he did last week, which was wild. Geez. Did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's just, you need to have Flair turtle, though, for old time's sake.
he just drops down and gives him a low blow, oldest, slow.
But like Sting no sells everything at this point. Like he doesn't even sell it. He's just like, seriously, Rick. Like I'm making my boy it like would be, for the end of my, you know.
It would be tremendous to have Ric Flair turn on Sting like in his retirement match. Like you said, for old time's sake.
But it just not work, you know. And he's like, ah. And he's like, ah, shucks. And then they hug and make up.
That would actually
make me laugh. I'd be like, you know what? That's better than, you know, the same old type stuff.
That'd be very pro wrestling to have people have one guy try to stab another person in the back. And then they're like, oh, man, I love you for that. The dirtiest player in the game almost got me. This is so us. Me being good and virtuous and you being dastardly.
We're a few months away from that February, right?
From what?
Sting's retirement match.
I thought it was March. But
oh, March, that's right. I keep thinking Revolution's in February for some reason.
You might be right. I don't know.
I think it's March. Early March.
Confronted by Sting and Darby. Yep, March 5th. Oh,
speaking of. So what you thinking? If I may, Tony. First of all, Tony
Schiavone, everybody. Don't be all humble. If you knew all the hats that this man wore backstage, you'd cheer even louder, I promise you.
Well, then tell us.
Tony Schiavone working hard backstage. Yeah.
He's the Nick McCone of AEW. Oh, my God. Tony
Chance, enough, please. You know, last week, Sting got my Adam Copeland being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. What is this wrestling world we're living in?
2023.
In 2023. For those of you that were confused by that, we do. Because Sting and I, we've had a lot of the same injuries. And Copeland's going to team up with Sting and Darby Allin at some point. Full gear, probably. I respect the hell out of that man. I also respect Darby Allin. MJF doesn't.
Evo bitch.
That just happened. Like 5 minutes ago. But Tony, I know you want answers, right? Everybody wants answers. What am I going to do?
Am I going to team with Sting and Darby Allin at Full Gear?
Where are they tonight? Are you aware?
I had it. I usually get alerts, but it doesn't. Oh, they're in Louisville, Kentucky.
Ah, they just the MJF Wardlow segment. There was a University of Louisville logo on the wall. So yes, I just remembered that.
I did not know.
Was that the Yum Center? Louisville basketball.
Yes, they are at the Yum Center, the KFC Yum Center. Yum Center.
Yeah. Don't ask me why I remember that. It's maybe because it's such an absurd name. Probably. The KFC Yum exclamation point Center. Yeah. And naturally, they're in Louisville, Kentucky. So the arena is sponsored by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Of course.
I'm sure they pay a lot of salaries in Kentucky. I hope they do. They ought to.
Now, Adam, before you give your answer, I just want to paint a little picture for you.
And that is Mr. Turtleneck himself, Christian Cage, here.
The TNT champion, officially.
The official TNT champion.
Whether he likes it or not. And also, you haven't seen Darby Allin around that much lately, and if you have, you might have noticed that he has a gimp arm that will never be the same after I dumped him on those stairs at WrestleDream.
That was a rough landing, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't think
that's a beautiful title, that TNT title. Adam, even though they're on TBS right now. But it's all Turner, so I guess they're fine with it.
That is a nice title.
It's a nice title. TBS title is a nice title. See that on TNT all the time. They could just swap it, right? I feel like,
yeah, like then how do you swap the lineage? Like the women's title becomes the
that's
man's
a
title.
Fair point.
They're like, oh my god, we can't do it.
Right? Like, hey, nobody cares.
Exactly.
I'm the first one. I can't say that. I'm the first one to be like, oh, the title lineage matters, but it's like. It matters to me, but I recognize it doesn't matter to a lot of other people. Like, it matters to me. It might matter to you. You know, we're diehards. It matters to us nerds like that. And I admit, we're nerds when it comes to that type of stuff. But it doesn't matter to a lot of other people. So, it wouldn't, like, end the world. It wasn't like, it wouldn't be like wrestling would end because they changed it. It's one thing I've learned is that these title lineages, they don't mean that much. They mean more to, oh, what happened there?
Yeah, he was looking at Christian, totally forgot he was supposed to kick that guy.
Fans aren't exactly going nuts over this.
I get a hug now? I get a hug?
Oh, no! Oh man, Nick Wayne. Oh, a cutter from the middle rope, a Cody cutter, pretty much. Adam Copeland didn't make that many friends yet in AEW. I guess he got Sting and Darby Allin so far.
Yeah, not the best.
Not the best.
Guys to have.
One is like mid 60s. The other one has his arm is not functioning. Like. Arm is in a sling. Oh, here comes Sting, though. It was cool to see Sting. I've never been outside of WrestleMania in 2015, which I don't really even count because this is a football stadium and it was WWE and it was broad daylight. So
you were 800 yards away.
Right. It wasn't quite the same. Oh, Darby Allin ran fast. But last week, that was like the first time I'd really been in an arena when Sting was in an arena. And that was pretty neat. I will say that. That was pretty cool.
Never went to the TNA shows?
I did not. Back when TNA... oh, my God. We got to talk about it. We got
to
talk about it.
Will Sting return? Is he actually going to retire? Is he going to go back to TNA?
I have not written about it. I probably should have, but I was very busy last week. But... Oh, Edge is spearing Christian Cage. Oh, wow.
There it is.
Oh man.
You wanna snap my neck? I'm gonna beat your ass.
Ooh.
Well, one's worse than the other.
Like staying in the bomber, the flight, like the bomber jacket.
Right.
We knew Osmond was called a match. Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland, very nice guy in the interview, by the way.
Pleasure to talk to you
last week.
Didn't want to the Acclaim didn't want to get involved in that one.
But yeah, your favorite company that was known as Impact Wrestling for, man, it's been a while.
I know, I think 2016.
Something like that. And you know, they did some all right things. I know things haven't been tremendous, but they've kind of righted their shit.
They're not like shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
They're just there. They're just
like
there.
There was a time, and people may not remember, where TNA wrestling, whatever you want to call it, was, man, it was rough. Where they were missing payroll. It was a question of whether it's going to pay people. Ownership changing hands, changing names a bunch of times. And now here they are changing the name again.
Back to a brand
that, again, we talked about the niche of the niche. TNA is back.
Oh.
TNA Wrestling. Oh, Tony Khan's important announcement.
From what I understand, you have a huge announcement.
He bought TNA.
Around the world. Absolutely, Nigel. It's been a great year for AEW. We had our biggest success ever this past August at Wembley Stadium. We sold the most tickets in pro wrestling history.
So you say.
One of the greatest shows anyone's ever seen. And it was our debut in London, our debut
with white
in
ropes.
England,
I like it.
In Europe. It was amazing. And now, speaking of amazing, all over the world, Christmas trees are going up. November 1st, tonight, it's the start of the holiday season.
Toys for Tots.
Although, at my parents' house, the tree's been up since July. Nevertheless,
okay.
It's the start of the holiday season, and I can't think of a better gift to give the wrestling fan and your family, your friends, your loved ones, anyone you care about, than
what?
A ticket to next year's AEW All In, coming up August 25th, 2024. Tickets are on sale 1 month from now, December 1st.
Oh, my God.
But you don't have to wait until December 1st. You can get involved. You can sign up right now. You can get the best tickets early. Nigel, tell them all about it.
Tony, here is my scoop. If you want access to the best seats before the general public,
you
can sign up now at Ticketmaster.
Hold up, man. Tony got to cut it out.
AEW Wembley 2024.
Tony got to cut it out.
Access pre-sales begin November 27th with details being emailed to everybody.
Tony got to cut it out, bro.
Like you said, Tony, this past summer, All In London made history, setting the all-time pro wrestling paid attendance record with 81,035 tickets.
He has to cut this out.
In 2024, we rewrite history as AEW returns to England's prestigious sporting mecca, where legacies will be made and destroyed. Moments that will
end. I'm going to let him finish.
On a personal note, as a kid that sat in Wembley Stadium a little over 31 years ago, and first dreamed of being a professional wrestler, dreams unimaginable will be created again. And with a memory of that dream still in my
heart, this is still going. All this to announce that tickets are going on sale?
August 25th. Fellas, back to you.
Nah, bro.
My goodness.
They did a whole Twitter post for this huge announcement just to announce when tickets are going on sale. They're not even on sale yet. They're going on sale a month from now. That could have been a press release.
He invoked the holidays.
Are you serious? We got to cut it out. Tony, you got to stop it. That's a press release. That's a social media post. That is not a segment on Dynamite. Then you tried out Daddy Magic and the Boys. No, man. No. We got to cut it out, man. With the announcements. Also, I feel like the timing is look, this is the tit for tat thing we're doing with pro wrestling now. WWE just announces that they're doing the Bash in Berlin like the same weekend as All Out. So Tony comes back. We're going to sale now. A year in advance, pretty much.
He's going to have another announcement. You know what? You watching, you already have a ticket. It's like, wait, what? When did I get a ticket?
Like Emil Lagasse. Another match. Bam. free tickets. Giveaway tickets now. We want 100,000 people. And the Wembley's like, waiting. No, no, this is a fire hazard. 100,000.
You can actually sit in the ring during a match.
Bro. Right. Also, this is a on sale for a show that's in London. I'm all for the international shows. Don't get me wrong. I'm for the Bash in Berlin. I'm for the international shows. Those crowds are hot. Those shows usually be good. And they usually start early in the day. So, like, we got Crown Jewel.
That's the biggest one.
1 p.m. You know, no, 3 p.m. is
kickoff match this time. So,
yeah. But I'm all for it. But, like, to do this big on sale announcement for a show that's not even happening in the States, like, get out of here, Tony. Stop playing, bro, with these announcements. Oh, my God. An on sale. Can you imagine Triple H getting in the ring? Like, tickets for WrestleMania on sale next month. That's my big announcement. And then he leaves? Man.
That was awesome.
That's wild, man. That's a wild one. But back to TNA Wrestling, which is back. By the way, we're going to get a tag team match. Jericho and Kenny Omega. The Winnipeg Connection in a tag team match here. But, yeah, it's back. I don't understand it whatsoever, bro. I don't get why many people possibly been clamoring for TNA Wrestling to return as a brand. How many people could have possibly been? The demand could not have possibly been that high. It's a brand that was gone for, like you said, like 7 years or so. It's also the niche of the niche again. You're not talking about a wide array of wrestling fans. Also, the origin of the name. Also, you're calling it TNA, which is intentional double entendre. Because that's where Vince Russo got it from. You know, TNA. But it really means total nonstop action. We know what TNA means. And everybody else do too. I just don't understand why would you want your company to be called that again if you want to appeal to the masses. And they're going to run bigger arenas now, which good luck with that. I hope that works out. I just don't know how being TNA Wrestling helps the promotion in 2023. They got talented roster. They can be on a good track, and they can. I'm okay with them changing the name and running bigger buildings. I just don't understand going to TNA Wrestling. I don't get it. It's not that. How many people really have the nostalgia for TNA Wrestling? Like they think they do, like because people chanted at the shows. That's it. Like how many people is that though?
I mean, I never hated the name. Changing it to Impact Wrestling was like okay, but Impact Wrestling's
it's better than Global Force Wrestling.
It's true, very true. It's also longer to say than TNA, so TNA kind of rolls off the tongue. So I get that, you know, I guess.
TNA rolls off how many tongues in the country, I guess.
I mean, I liked TNA's product for a while. It was like the wrestling was great. We hadn't seen that in WWF/WWE at the time. At least, you know, consistently the way I saw in TNA. I remember like some of their pay-per-views from 04 and 05 were just amazing.
Yeah.
That's kind of what got me hooked on to TNA. So they finally got on the Spike TV and boom, I was watching every week. But yeah, I think it makes me, I don't know. I guess they just think it's more marketable than Impact Wrestling. That's just, unless they're just like, hey, let's create change for the sake of creating change, because you know that happens in wrestling a lot. So
I just don't see how that's better than Impact Wrestling. I just don't see how it's better. Yeah. And the heyday that you're talking about, I was watching as well. I really started watching in when it got on Spike TV, but I'd heard of it beforehand of Impact Wrestling or TNA Wrestling, I should say. Because you see the commercials, you see the pay-per-view commercials, you see the clips, on, like, you know, you see commercials. It's like, oh, what is that? But I obviously couldn't watch it because it's only on pay-per-view every week at that point. But once it got on Spike, I was watching it every week. And I really liked it, just like you did. And it had a heyday, 05, 06, 07, even it's like 08. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
And then things changed, obviously, when Hogan came in and Bischoff came in. And
yeah, and here I am thinking, oh, we're going to have another Monday Night War. And yeah, that did not happen.
It was the furthest thing from the truth.
They brought back the four-sided ring. I was like, yeah, like that's better. It's like, you know what? Now I kind of miss the six-sided ring because it was unique. I heard wrestlers, some said it was harder to wrestle in. So I understand that. But that was the type of stuff that you would see, like Ultimate X, you know, that type of stuff. That
was cool.
You weren't getting anywhere else in at least mainstream wrestling, wrestling that was readily available to watch, you know, like on a weekly or even monthly basis. But I remember taping a lot of those shows too. I would record VHS and then, you know, DVDs and stuff. So I have a lot of that up till maybe around 2012. I want to say
that's when the bottom started falling out.
Yeah. So then I just stopped altogether. And even before they got on Spike TV, they were on the Fox Sports Net, you know.
I forgot about those years. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, they had the timer, you know, on the screen of like who was in the match and everything, and that kind of helped me with the newer guys that I didn't know their name, but you know, I saw their name on the timer, and I would see DDP on there and Monty Brown. Like that was great.
Monty Brown was the man back. I don't know what happened. Like I feel like he was so good, and he was such a. Yeah. He's such an integral part of the show. It wasn't like Monty Brown wasn't featured a lot. He was featured a lot. He was. And he had the best promos. He had a tremendous entrance. He had all the charisma. Yeah, like, he had the pounds. He'd rub his face on the rope like it's a cat or something. Mm-hmm.
He'd go up to the camera, like, that was my favorite entrance, man. Like,
loved Monty Brown.
That was great.
And then he just like kind of like fell off with them for some reason. I haven't done the research into it, I should say.
Well, didn't he go to like ECW, the WWE ECW? It was like Marcus.
Oh, Corvon.
Yeah. And they obviously don't know what to do with anybody right. in that time frame. So
when you change him from Monty Brown to Marcus Corvon, you're just like, well, this ain't going to work. Because he was alpha male, Monty Brown.
Yeah.
He's like this alpha male type
guy. That was the first time I heard that phrase, alpha male, which is crazy.
It's so funny, you know? Because he took it as like more of like a animalistic approach.
Yeah.
And he's like the pounce, and he just destroyed people with the pounce. One of the best finishes of all time. Nobody's day. Okay. The pounce is tremendous. But like I'm thinking now, like you could spin that character for it. You could be like a podcast bro, being the alpha male, Monty Brown, or something like that. Like same term, but totally different spins on the character. That you can work today that would get so much heat today as his supposed alpha male Monty Brown, but super dope Monty Brown. But yeah, I again, we talk about these heydays. That was also like 17, 18 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
Like 2005 was 18 years ago.
Dude, that's wild.
So like, what are we pulling from? The nostalgia we're pulling from is from a while back, and even the nostalgia that we're pulling from, it wasn't like it set the world on fire. We're not talking like Hulk Hogan in the 80s nostalgia, Steve Austin in the 90s nostalgia. We're talking about Impact in 2005 nostalgia when it had 1 hour on Spike TV. That was like the height, and then it expanded to 2 hours for a little bit there, and then try to go live and all that. But no. TNA? Whatever, man. I wish him nothing but the best. Honestly, I don't agree with it, but I wish him nothing but the best. They got a lot of talented people working there, and they got to put food on the table, and I hope that they can sell them tickets in them bigger buildings that they're running. They planning on running. Yeah, down Callis talking. Hobbs is so big, you can see him from across the arena. He's so huge. You can spot him out of thousands of people. We need to take it up a notch. Maybe this doesn't get finished in a wrestling ring. Maybe this gets finished on the street. So the guts, Jericho and the streets of Winnipeg. Winnipeg street fight at the Forks.
Oh, Ontario, California.
It's Ontario, California street fight. Not even a Toronto, Ontario street fight. Not even an Ontario street fight, like Western Ontario or something like that. Ottawa. Not even Ottawa. We're talking Ontario, California.
They just called us dummies, Kenny. What are we going to do? You know, it sucks walking around this planet being a dummy. I mean, I'd hate to be a stupid head or anything crazy like that. Listen here, numbnuts. You just said the magic word. You want a street fight? None of this was ever about playing by the rules. None of this was about winning matches. It was all about
you know, Kenny Omega, Jericho from the streets, man.
Not for your family. It was all for you. So you want a street fight? Yeah, we accept a street fight, but we're not going to accept it alone. I've got someone who engages in every battle with me by my side. So trust me, you want to bring your family along?
Kota Ibushi's coming back.
Spot, freshly made for Kota Ibushi.
Well, they did go over to Japan and attack Ibushi, right? In the Stojo?
I know, by my math, you're still a man short.
Remember,
I'm all out of ideas, Chris. Can you help me?
Fourth member of the Don Callis family.
I look at Will Hobbs right here.
Oh, that's why I know who they're going to get to be the partner. He mentioned his last week. He mentioned he had a neighbor, his friend from Florida, that's going to help him. There's a big giant guy backstage named Paul White that could be that guy.
No, Chris. No one's bigger than Will Hobbs.
See what I'm saying?
Set it up.
Somebody's bigger.
Well,
it's going to be Captain Insano, bro.
It probably will be that.
He's not a giant.
Uh-oh. What?
If we got that giant guy backstage?
The giant. What if he comes out and like the... This
no more guy. BS.
Oh, he's ready to fight. He's in his gear. Oh, okay.
Paul White, man.
Didn't even move.
He doesn't look great, man. This is not a ring endorsement. They got to run up on him. He can't. Can he not move? They just said, no, we'll stay away.
He literally took one step to his left, threw a punch, and didn't do anything else.
That's tough.
Can't even walk to the ring? Can't even go like give him high fives or anything.
We should not shoot. What is going on here? Hey,
what
yo.
Was that? Did they say something? Did I miss it?
I don't remember anything. That's bro.
What about this never ending pasta bowl?
I just
can you hear this soundbite? I just played one, no?
I did not hear that.
Okay. I got to figure out how I can play some of our clips.
So if you didn't watch, Paul White came out. Sucker punch. He didn't sucker punch somebody. They ran up on him. But he did not move after that. If you're telling me that Paul White isn't super mobile as far as like wrestling wise, he obviously walked out. So I'm assuming he's some mobility. But it didn't look like he was in necessarily wrestling shape.
No,
we probably shouldn't be doing this, right?
Yeah, he had his outfit on. That's not good enough.
No, bro. And look, I'm not sitting here trying to clown. People get older, man. Like, especially guys his size. He's a bigger dude. I don't know, man. We'll have to see. We'll have to see, man. I gotta.
He'll get in, throw one punch. You know, he's. I don't think he'll do much physically, especially if he's the fourth guy, four guys, but maybe it's a way to get him a paycheck. I don't know.
He already works there.
I know. An extra paycheck, maybe, is what I meant to say. Maybe.
Like, you get another one? He's already on the payroll.
Maybe in his contract, he's stated as being an active wrestler, and he hasn't been, so he's got to have this moment so he could technically not be in breach of contract. I don't know. Or either way, you know, him or AEW. So maybe WWE was suing them because he's like, they have Paul White listed as an active wrestler, and he hasn't wrestled in 1,854 days. I just made that up. I'm sure he's wrestled in within that time frame. As he's already wrestled in AEW, right?
I think so.
Like,
I think so.
It's like, I am Vaughn Johnson.
I don't I know, so. But Paul White, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Kota Ibushi going to team up.
I guess that's happening at Full Gear too.
Yes, a lot of hodgepodge tag team matches. I think that's
a lot of groups in AEW.
There are a lot of groups. I don't know if that was for Full Gear. I'm trying to look through Twitter to see if I missed anything. It doesn't look like I necessarily did. But yeah, that's happening, man.
Oh, Renee, yeah, I was gonna say Renee Young in their dressing room. You guys are gonna be in a street fight match. How are you guys feeling leading up to this? What I'm feeling is that in 2 weeks, the Don Callis family now has to face. Oh yeah, two weeks. But
also Ibushi, yeah, it said in Ontario, California.
I literally just said that. Like, I'm an idiot. Paul White is our friend, and we'll be there. Your friend, huh? Kenny. Yeah, we're friends, right? And listen, not to be overdramatic, there's been enough melodrama in this locker. Okay, not mad at you. Not mad at Hangman Page. What was the whole point of the Elite getting back together if none of us have each other's backs anymore? You know? But with all that being said, hey, no heat there. Passive aggressive douche. Into our locker room.
Hey, you forget what this guy did to our father all those years ago? I haven't. Listen, father?
I haven't.
What father? Who the hell are they talking about? You weren't
good enough tonight. Like in 2019, I guess they beat up his father. Their father.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about that, honestly. He is aligned with us against
the Don Callis family. Okay. Surprisingly, they haven't. You know he's going to screw you over just like Don did. Hey, enjoy our locker room. Clean up when you're done, okay, guys? All right. That's cool. Nice. Yeah. We'll talk. Couldn't be more passive aggressive.
Nobody likes those guys.
So annoying. Like, they're so unlikable. Like, in real life and on screen.
At least in that segment, they weren't very likable.
Hey, our first women's match.
You just, oh my God. It only took an hour and 20 minutes. Willow Nightingale, great wrestler, just gets trotted out there for a match and not much else, though.
How long will it last?
We'll see. Who we got here? Oh, it's a Carl Sheeta.
Did they advertise this?
I don't recall.
You have the women's champion on and not advertise?
I just did more with the women's division. They don't give them any segments. They don't give them any build. They just trot them out there and have matches. They don't get, like, did they get the chance to promote this match? Toni Storm gets the most time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Being the 1920 silent film star, which is great. Like, she clowned Philadelphia without even saying a word last week.
How did she do that? Because was she on Dynamite?
She was on Dynamite. They just aired it in the building. It was a silent movie with her and RJ City and Luther, who's like, they gave Luther something to do.
Now, I missed this. So what did she do?
It's a silent movie. I can tell you.
And it's like, you eat a cheesesteak and spit it out or something.
No, she just said something, but obviously you didn't hear her say it because it's a silent movie. So the text came up on the screen like, the faster I can get out of Philadelphia, this most wretched place, the better, or something like that.
That's funny.
You didn't even hear her voice, but seeing the text pop up on the screen was pretty funny.
Yeah, I've been seeing for weeks, you know, she's been part of, one of the best parts of the programs.
It's really funny, but. Yeah. There needs to be more. Like,
I think it was Collision. She came out like late on the announce table, or was that Dynamite? I don't even remember, but
yeah,
I definitely saw that part. It might have been Collision because I was paying attention to that more than I was Dynamite last week. But
it just,
yeah,
they just come out there cold, man, and then you wondering why they're not over. Like,
it's weird because WWE was in like the same boat, like their 100% went down around the same time. It was just so weird. The best thing about it was like Becky Lynch being in NXT and doing that stuff. You know, so I don't know if they, you know, they're both doing like a hard reset or what, but
well, at least the, like I said, at least the women in WWE, they get the backstage time, they get the camera time, they get the mic time. Yeah. Especially on Raw when you got 3 hours, you got time to fill, and even on SmackDown and in NXT. You know, it's not tremendous, it's not perfect, it's not always great, but you could tell there's effort being put in and people being utilized to a certain extent. I don't know about that in AEW, man.
Yeah.
And they got talent. They got a lot of talent. Right here in this match. Shida, Hikaru Shida, and Willow Nightingale. But they're just there.
Will it be a match of consequence, you know? Like,
it doesn't seem like it. I don't think the title.
What if Willow wins? Does she get a title match?
I would assume so.
I don't think this is a title match. I didn't see if the ref held up the belt, but and we don't have the sound on, you know. So
I feel like we would know. She just defended the title against Abaddon on the Chiron. It says she defended it against Abaddon on Collision.
Yeah. Oh, splash.
So the Abaddon, when she won the number one contendership, I guess, or she earned it by winning a match on Rampage. We saw that match in Philly.
Yeah. They were quick. So that was like the next night.
Right, they got right to it.
Well, I mean, like on TV.
Right, they got right to it pretty much. But I don't know. I don't know. But
Flyers are down 4-2. That's going to sting. They were, we're in a commercial break, but look to the Flyers. Now they're down 4-2. It's like, oh, man. Like they're playing some exciting hockey that we haven't seen in years. You know, they just keep losing. It's like,
look,
I did predict them to make the playoffs this year, but it's still early, you know.
Still so early. They played with like 5 games.
Yeah.
6 games, something like that. We'll see.
This is funny. Like the stream is ahead of my cable, which is usually never how it acts. You know, the stream, online streams are way behind. And oh my God, speaking of that, like the TBS, the games that were on TBS, the baseball playoffs, like so incredibly delayed. You know, I have my radio on and the radio was behind like 10 seconds of real live action. And the TBS was behind literally like two and a half minutes.
Man,
from the radio, it's like I can't do this. Like, how do you sit there 2.5 minutes after? Like, people are getting alerts on their phone of, you know, homers and scores and stuff.
Was regularly during the NLCS, especially. I was getting ESPN alerts before my stream caught up.
Like, it's annoying. I don't have.
I was watching it on YouTube TV a lot of times.
Yeah, I don't. I turn those notifications off. I just have like final. The game start and the game end. You know, I don't have any scores or anything. But yeah, that TBS delay was like the worst. It's funny that we're watching it on TBS now. I wonder how delayed, you know, Dynamite is every weekend.
Maybe.
Jeez.
I will say I was not expecting the NLCS to be on TBS. I know where NBA, they'll have the conference finals on TNT and they'll swap every year which one is on TNT. And I guess they do it now with baseball because I was like, Fox, right? NLCS is going to be on Fox.
Yep.
Because I think the DS was on Fox, right? Was that also? No, that was on TBS as well. It started with the Braves series because the Braves were playing on TBS.
Yeah. The wild card series was on ESPN.
ESPN, right.
Division series.
So we didn't get to watch any Fox games at all during these playoffs, which is bizarre.
It is.
I'm sure
we would have if they were in the World Series, unfortunately.
Right. And or if, you know, next year, I'm sure that I would imagine the NLCS would be on Fox and the ALCS would be on TBS. I'm sure they'll switch.
Yeah.
But it's just, and I guess baseball is just diversifying who gets what, like the NFL is doing, you know. But, you know, for a long time growing up, Fox had all the playoffs and the ESPN might have had like the division series.
Yeah.
But after the division series, it's all Fox.
I remember coming home from school, watching those early baseball playoff games on ESPN because they were great. They would start at like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. Like, come home and playoff baseball's on. Like, it's great. But yeah, it's even the wild card, you know, they start early. They started like 1 o'clock. And
yeah, I think that's cool. It was kind of tough that the Phillies will always start late because they're obviously we're in a big market and the Phillies were like an exciting team and in defending National League champs. They got Bryce Harper. They got home run hitters. So they're going to put them last. But like, I wouldn't have minded a daytime playoff game.
Yeah, cool. Me too. It's nice because, you know, depending on the amount of time I have to get those videos ready, especially after the game, you know, it takes some time if I want to grab you know, certain interviews or stuff. So if I'm like here, you know, past midnight, I got to wake up at 6 a.m., man, for my day job. You know, like it sucks a little bit. I don't want my day job to have to wake me up at 6 a.m., but I'm not in a position where I can just let that go. So I need to be up at that time. So,
yeah.
But this match is still going on, which is nice. It's about five minutes in. It is nice.
But it's the same. I felt the same way about the Kelly Green game against the Dolphins the Eagles had. I was like, man, it's cool. So I understand why. So here's the thing. I understand why that game was in prime time. Eagles Dolphins primetime matchup. Tua versus Jalen Hurts for the first time. Two big markets. Also, if you're in, you know, working for the Eagles, which I used to do, obviously, but I don't anymore. If you want to showcase the brand and showcase this Kelly Green for the first time in over a decade, especially this particular one, it's been way more than a decade. Prime time is a great time to do that. And everybody got to see the field and all the old merch. I'm sure they sold a lot of merch, more merch than usual because the game was on Sunday night. And it helped me because I got to get this content out there before the kickoff because I went to the parking lot, shot a video and got posted and all that before kickoff, which was nice. But it would have been cool to see that Kelly Green during the day. Yeah. Just Sunday, 1 o'clock. That's when I'm used to seeing that Kelly Green. Ooh. Yeah. So it would have been cool to see that. I think they're wearing them again this season.
Yeah. I think it's in December, maybe
something like that.
I do not know the full date, but yeah. Yeah. So, and you know,
I think that's a 4 o'clock game too. I think that
they won the game. They won the game, and you know, I usually do the syncs when they win, or I post them, you know, as quickly as I can after the game. Of course, I think that what's that? The Phillies play that night. I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. No, so they didn't play.
I might have.
I think it was game six and seven was the next night. I think it was like six and seven was Monday and Tuesday.
That's right, and they. I think I posted during the game. Because I was able to, but then I did the Spanish and the posing the next day. So you know, the Phillies were on, or I wasn't able to do it during the game, I would have had to wait till the next day. And then, you know, I come back from my day job, and they wouldn't have been posted till like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. By that time, it's just like, I hope people still have the appetite for it. usually they do, you know, Philly sports fans love that stuff. So I'm always like self conscious about the timing of it all.
I'm sure they're waiting for you too.
Yeah. Like, it's not like I do it, you know, like as a job, you know, I just do it for fun, you know, like kind of, but I don't want to keep people waiting either. You know, it's kind of like, man, cause I love doing it. Like, it's so cool. So,
right. But the next Kelly Green Eagles game is when they play the Bills in a couple weeks.
Ooh.
425.
AFC East teams.
Right. I would have liked to have seen it against, like, the Cowboys this week.
Yeah. Like, this week, you know?
Right. Could you imagine they broke out the Kelly Green again against the Cowboys? Eagles fans would just be in heaven, all right? It'd be a party down there. And look, the Cowboys, they can break out the uniforms with the star on the shoulder, too. Like, we can have a uniform battle. Carl Sheeda beats Willow Nightingale. There's a handshake here and a hug. This is Ring of Honor now. But yeah, that would have been dope.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here comes Toni Storm. Does she win again the world title? I mean, I feel like this character that's gotten so much TV time and so much production behind it.
You almost have to give it to the character at this point.
Right. And she's already been champion like twice, right? Something like that?
Yeah. One time interim, right? And then the other time regular. Oh.
The shoe, not the shoe. Oh, my goodness. Toni Storm, what is she doing? Carl, she, I'm enough with the nonsense.
How did this even start?
I think after the second time she lost the title, she just went crazy and thought she was a 1920s
Saraya and Ruby Hollywood were like,
silent film star.
Saraya and Ruby were like,
oh, no, Julia Hart.
Julia Hart. She knows. Oh, yeah. Remember, she was. It's in the script. She knows. Will knows exactly what's coming. She has been
in this situation before. Julia Hart looked like she won the Children fireball? Of the Corn now.
Fireball? No. Handshake.
Probably a fireball. Be careful. Hand behind the back. It's probably a fireball. Oh. Yep.
Yep, she's holding something, it looks like.
Okay.
She's going to move out of the way, or she's going to duck. Uh-oh.
What in the world?
Uh-oh.
Oh. Oh. Okay, here's some storytelling with the women's division. She's got some mist in her face.
You can barely see it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there it is. All over her hand.
She's touching people.
Those people are like, get the hell away from me.
Right.
I don't blame them. I don't want your saliva near me. Anyone's saliva. That's not mine.
Looks like she got it right in the neck.
Yeah.
A lot of it on the neck area.
Kind of bit. That just means she's really short.
Yes. Gotta get better aim on that. It is cool that Sky Blue had blue mist.
Next time you got to shoot upward. It's kind of, the visual is up. Max is waiting. Still no luck? Yeah. Dad, Max! No one likes you, except for this guy right here. And I don't know why you haven't picked this in the first place, because everyone loves the Acclaimed! That's right. And if you team with us, it's just under two conditions. You got to scissor us. And just wear what's in this bag, okay? Wear what's in this bag. This big black plastic trash bag.
Is the LOD foam shoulder pads?
Oh, man.
Hey,
do you understand me? It's not happening. No. And joke's on you. I got one more group on my list. Okay, you just have to get out of here, man. House of Black?
MJF. This reaches wit's end. Oh, not, no, no. No. We're here to help. Get the hell out of here. You're not going to choose Jeff Jarrett. Max, just put on the shirt, Max. Oh, man. They wheeled him to the ring so fast last week. For a segment, it was so funny. Why is he carrying around a zebra? Stuff is a giraffe.
Oh, sorry about that, dude. Hey, can you believe Max didn't even attempt to ask us to be his tag team partners tonight? Especially after I've been so nice to him. What a jerk, huh?
Roddy, shut the hell up, man.
What?
Oh my god, try it again. Man, Roderick Strong, don't get up from that damn chair tonight and super kick Max in the face.
Gonna do Linda McMahon. Pull that's, Linda McMahon and stand up.
Because I am sick of him being wheeled around yelling at him. They even gave him a shirt.
It was funny. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett and his cameo just now. And we talked about TNA earlier.
Oh, man.
Dude, he was a huge reason why TNA sucked for a long time. Dude, and people forget that just because they like his podcast. And it's whatever. Like, I've warmed up to him. You know, I think he has a place in the business right now, and it's fine. You know, but man, he was like, people talk about Triple H's Reign of Terror in 2002 and on. Jeff Jarrett had the same thing in TNA, and just people forget about that. And I think that's a huge reason why TNA became the way it did, because of Jeff Jarrett. So, you know, I don't know how many people agree with that assessment, but
I don't know. TNA, I feel like worse things have happened than Jeff Jarrett's run, which I agree with you, was not great.
Always beating people. Yes. And then he was like, get beat, but then he was just regaining the title right back.
The next month. What the hell? They built up.
Get out of here.
Bound for Glory 05, which was like their first show outside of the Impact Zone, or one of their first shows. Yeah, it was like that Bound for Glory, like in Detroit, and it's like a small arena and like somewhere outside of Detroit. And the main event was Jeff Jarrett and Sting in 2005. And it was huge, bro. I was into it.
Yeah.
And Sting beat him. And he's like, all right, that's the last time Jeff Jarrett's going to be the champ, right? And I don't think he was. He had a title like one or two more times after that. But look, I mean, look, you can knock Jeff Jarrett's run. And I get it. I perfectly understand it. They also had some of their best years when Jeff Jarrett was on that terrible run of terror. Like, when he was winning the champion, he would win the King of the Mountain match and throw up the peace sign. The King of the Mountain.
I hated that. I was so mad.
The King of the Mountain.
I was like, I want something different to watch than just WWE. Give me something different to watch. And you were giving me the same exact thing. It's just replacing Triple H with Jeff Jarrett.
They got on Spike TV with that, bro. They expanded to 2 hours with that.
It was not. Because it was Jeff Jarrett's business acumen, probably not his wrestling ability,
not his booking.
No.
I guess that they didn't care about his booking. He just making himself like a 12-time world champion.
Just like, you got to make sure you're champ, right? He's like, oh, you bet your bottom dollar. And he just kept winning the title.
He did. He won it multiple times. I do recall those years when Jeff Jarrett was the top heel in Impact.
Just for
it was not the best television. I will say that I've seen better heel runs in my day. Oh, we got the Bullet Club Gold.
I do like that entrance. It's funny that Jay White's carrying the title.
It's so goofy.
And never, like, I always kind of, I'm a mark for that kind of story where the champion or the non-champion just steals the belt and holds it for ransom. It's like,
I've never been a fan of that story.
Never, like, since, you know, what, a month ago he's at it. It's like Max has never been able to get it back. Although I do think it was funny on Collision. He came out, tried to steal the title belt, and he got stopped. And he's like, ah, crap, and he had to run away. I did think that was kind of funny.
Talking about this last week at the Dynamite, the guy who is Jean-Pierre Lafitte, who stole the Bret Hart's jacket.
Yeah.
After that story, probably shouldn't have done another thievery storyline again.
Well, they had the Repo Man steal the Macho Man's hat. That was good.
That's true. But I feel like these stories, to me, never land with me. Like X-Pac was a six, I should say, stole the Cruiserweight title one time.
Yeah.
Or whatever, whoever.
Oh, is it the Acclaim?
Oh man, what a surprise!
Or MJF's just gonna come out and be like, "Nah, I didn't pick you guys."
I've got the AEW six man tag team champions. Oh my god, I almost forgot what belts they had. Ooh. Oh, are they mad? That man,
my friend loves this
so much money to do the scissoring thing.
My friend,
Anthony Bones.
casual wrestling fan. He loves this. He sends me gifts all the time. that specific thing.
It's such a goofy
like Bryce
thing.
Harper will hit a homer and he'll text me that gift.
This has nothing to do with this.
This is hilarious. Any celebratory type thing. He'll just like let's go.
It's
we
so
actually
bizarre.
Have our own handshake when we see each other. And we incorporated that into the end of it because he loves it so much.
Yeah, I had a, I think we talked about this in the podcast. I had a flag football team last fall this time. And one of the players on my team was a big wrestling fan and a big Acclaim fan. And we
he's wearing
group text.
It. He's wearing it.
He is wearing it. And a pink
the
scarf.
Pink everything.
Yeah, he got the whole gear. That's really funny. But what was I going to say? Yeah, and he just in the group chat of our team. I forgot about World's End is happening in Philly and in AEW as well, Long Island,
December 30th.
He just didn't high five him.
What is that?
It's the last pay per view of the year, I think.
Is that like a New Japan Super Show type thing?
No, I think it's just a show,
a new pay per view.
But he's in the group chat and he just throws out the Scissor Me stuff. In the chat, and not everybody is a wrestling fan, obviously. So people are like confused because it's like, what are you talking about? You can't just throw that out here. Like, this is not this type of party. And we had to explain to them, like, no, it's a wrestling thing. Yeah, it's like a comedic, ironic thing. Ha ha. Not the scissoring you're thinking of. Different type of scissor. So, Yeah. Yes, World's End. It's a pay-per-view at the end of the year. So we got Full Gear coming up next month and World's End in December. I think I've read a report that AEW is going to try to maybe add more pay-per-views to their calendar.
What's that? The December has 31 days, right? So that's not the last day of December. It is the second to last day of December.
December 30th?
Yeah, their pay-per-view. So on a Saturday, though, it said.
Good. Well, for one, you don't want to do it on New Year's Eve necessarily, so that's good.
Man, I don't mind.
And yeah, Saturday shows for the win. You know how I feel about Saturday shows. Saturday or nothing.
What okay? is Survivor Series? Is that like how long? So we're at November 1st. We got Crown Jewel. Saturday is the 4th, so it's got to be the 18th, right?
It's 25th, I believe.
Is it the 25th?
I think so.
So it's Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm pretty sure it's in the 20s.
Because Thanksgiving is the 23rd. Yeah,
25th, Saturday 25th. So
wow,
yeah.
Thanksgiving weekend.
It's Thanksgiving tradition again, Nick.
Well, they could make it the 22nd. That'd be great.
Black Friday?
No, the day before, the Wednesday before.
Oh, I got my days wrong. Okay. The Wednesday before. I got you.
I've already started. I started watching Survivor Series 88 yesterday.
Okay.
Got to start watching. Like,
I'm watching War Games matches. I'm watching War Games matches. That's what, you know, I don't give a damn about Survivor Series matches. I'm watching War Games matches leading up for a project that I'm working on. But in general, War Games matches.
Are they going to have a War Games? What if they don't have a War Games match?
They're going to have a War Games match. Okay. For one, this series has not been announced yet, even though I just kind of gave it away right here. But either way, even if it doesn't happen, I can still do a countdown. I can still do my thing. But they're going to have a War Games match. The way they're building this up, how do you not have a War Games match?
I agree.
And if Triple H is really in charge again, he's going to have a War Games match. He's been building to one in the booking for weeks.
Yeah, he did it last year, too. Clearly doing it this year. So
right.
But I'm looking forward to it either way, even I was just kind of surprised it's after Thanksgiving this year. I don't pay attention to dates, you know, clearly until they come up. You know, I could have looked this up a few months ago and realized it was after Thanksgiving, technically. But, yeah. Kind of surprised. I don't know if they do a bloodline, though. I don't think they would. Bloodline's gonna. Well, I think it's be Judgment Day, and
I think it might be Judgment Day and Bloodline because they're like kind of aligning a little bit.
Yeah, but I guess not the whole group. I guess Roman not being in there. I couldn't see Roman not
because Roman's not going to. The reports is he's not even going to be at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Solo and Jay.
That's wild.
Or Jimmy, I should say. Solo and Jimmy joining Priest.
Judgment Day. Yeah.
Finn and Dominic.
Yeah. Everyone's still holding out hope CM Punk's going to be there, but I guarantee you he will not. I would
definitely bet against it.
Yeah.
But you can't say never neither to because it is wrestling, right?
Survivor Series though.
I mean, even if it's in Chicago, so that's what's got people's buzzing, right? If it was in Milwaukee,
he's feeding right into it, which is hilarious.
Yeah, if it was Milwaukee, the speculation probably wouldn't be running rampant like this. But it's in Chicago, so it's going to happen. It's like the same way where every time when he first left WWE, every time they would go back, it's like, is he going to show up? Is he going to be there? Yeah. And he was never there, so he might not be there. Like, don't get your hopes up. If it doesn't happen, you know what I'm saying? But if it does happen, woo, yay. But like, if it doesn't, don't be, you know.
No, because if it does happen.
Three scissors.
If it does happen. Oh, yeah, let's do it.
You going to scissor anybody here, Max? He just doesn't. Oh, man.
He said it's only 9:49, guys.
All right. We got to wait till.
I got 11 minutes.
The kids go to sleep before we do that.
But can you imagine if he does show up at Survivor Series, how many the discourse is going to be? They wasted this at Survivor Series. That's what it's going to start.
Really? You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Because that's how toxic it could be.
I think it'd be AEW in the mud. There goes.
Well,
it'd be a lot of anti-AEW stuff. A lot of people saying AEW, oh, they lost their biggest star. A lot of people saying that now because the rating. Yeah. Anytime they don't set, they see like a low attendance or a bad rating, they're like, oh, let your biggest star go.
Oh, they love it.
You know, when they weren't pulling great numbers when CM Punk was there. But numbers haven't changed all that much, but you know, maybe a little bit, but it ain't like they're like way down since CM Punk left. It might be down, don't get me wrong, but I don't know the exact, but I know they're not that drastically different. But at least as far as ratings, I should say, right? But that's what I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see a lot of anti-AEW stuff and CM Punk is home and, oh, man, you know.
CM Punk is home.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be hilarious.
You're going to see all that. It's not going to be an intelligent night on wrestling Twitter. It's going to be big messy, bro. It's going
to
be something.
You, if that happens, we may need to do an emergency pod.
We might, because be messy right along with everybody else, I guess. And get to speculating about what can CM Punk do and how does AEW feel and all that stuff. Like I said, I've always maintained losing your top star is never a good thing. So if he does go to WWE, interpret it as nothing else but a loss for AEW. I don't care what you say. That's a loss for AEW. I know it's like, oh, it's addition by subtraction.
Yeah, but they got Edge. It's like, man, they do not compete.
It's not a fair trade in 2023. Especially if CM Punk is on his P's and Q's. Like, if he's actually on his good best behavior, which it could not be the case. He could go up in WWE and start fighting people.
He could
very well do that. So
he's like, hey, I'm only here until WrestleMania, and then he can ruffle feathers literally the first day in there.
Right, and like, every day leading up to that. Right? But I feel like everybody gets their stuff together when they go to WWE. I feel like, too. Like, everybody is a problem everywhere else, and they go to WWE, they magically just figure it out. All of a sudden, they're not a problem anymore.
Yeah, like, Vince isn't, you know, the person calling the shots.
That's true too.
From all angles we've heard,
right? When we talk about that, Vince not being in charge anymore, you think about, oh, maybe CM Punk can come back, but there's two women who left mainly because of Vince McMahon. Who I don't know what their contract situations are, but man, it'd be nice to bring them back home necessarily to WWE, and that's the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné and Trinity or Naomi
of TNA.
What's that?
Of TNA.
Of TNA Wrestling, right. TNA Wrestling is Trinity. You know her.
Technically, they're not going back till January, right?
That's true.
But... Hard to Kill. Which is some of their names, too. It's like, Hard to Kill. How's Hard right. to Kill?
This company is Hard to Kill because it should have died a long time ago. Probably, by all rights, should have died a long time ago.
That's good. I like that.
But, you know, they left on bad terms, mainly because of Vince McMahon. I'm sure there's other factors at play as well. But it'd be nice if they could get back on the same page with them and get them back. Because I think Naomi and Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné, they deserved a better ending in that company than the one they got. They put in too much work, and I think they could use them. You can never not have enough stars. Oh, here we go. Is it time?
Oh, he was ready. He was ready. He was ready.
Not this time.
It was 9:53. He's like, okay, you know, 4 minutes later, I got you guys.
But I don't want to like be like, oh, I'm not saying this to be anti-Impact, anti-AEW. It's just that I feel like they deserved a better end than the one they got. And it'd be nice to see them get booked by Triple H for an extended period of time instead of Vince McMahon. So we'll see, though. We'll see. I don't know what the contract statuses are. Also, or injury status and nothing like that, but
also could have needed this break from WWE completely, which could also be better in terms of bringing them back. You know, like they might have been burnt out, but maybe not CM Punk burnt out. Maybe, you know, just like, hey, like it's gonna be like a year, maybe more, and then we'll see where we're at there. Because it was in May, right? Where I forget
when it happened.
It was a year ago.
It was over a year ago.
Yeah, it does feel like that now, doesn't it?
It was 2022 when that happened.
Was it 2022? Jeez.
Because I'm pretty sure Mercedes Moné was at the Tokyo Dome this year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I keep thinking, why do I keep thinking it was this year?
Nah, that was 2022.
It must have been May 2022. Why is May sticking in my crawl right now?
I don't know. But yeah, that's just my personal feeling on it. But I, again, don't know contract statuses or nothing like that. So I'm not trying to like take any promotions talent necessarily. It's just a thought, just, you know, fantasy booking, so to speak. You know, when it comes to.
Yeah, it was May 2022.
Yeah.
My goodness. So, yeah, maybe because it was in May, I just assumed it was 2023. But, yeah, it's been almost 2 years now. A year and a half. So,
yeah, like I said, Mercedes Moné was at the Tokyo Dome this year. So, and I feel like Trinity has been feuding with Deanna Purrazzo off and on for a long time in Impact. So, yeah. We'll see.
I can ask, but I haven't watched Lick of Impact recently. And by recently, I mean like the last year change. But I could ask my dad something he would probably know because he watches it every week. As something to do. Like he enjoys the entertainment value of professional wrestling. So we kind of like, I put together the schedule of like when wrestling's on and he remembers. And I'll ask him, you know, each day, I'm like, what's tonight? And he'll either tell me Raw or SmackDown or, you know, Dynamite or Impact, NXT even. So he watches it and he gets into it. He doesn't pay attention a lot of the time because he'll be doing his puzzles or whatnot, but it's something to have on in the background. And I tell him, you know, when the premium live events are coming, I'll be like, what's Saturday? And now that Collision is Saturday, like he knows that. So, you know, he's in his 80s and he just enjoys, you know, the art, I guess, of pro wrestling and the fact that he has his favorites too. So he hates Dominic Mysterio, which is hilarious. And he hates Austin Theory. I think I said on this podcast before he called Austin Theory a smacked ass. And that was just
like, smacked ass. My God. That's an insult from the 1960s right there. I've ever heard one. You're like a smacked ass.
It's been pretty fun.
That's great. I'm gonna use that one day. Like a smacked ass.
I remember. MJF almost tripped. Well, he did trip, But yeah, I remember hearing my mom say that insult too a couple times. He's a smack ass. You know, it was hilarious.
That's really funny.
I never thought of it, you know, in the moment, but you know, it's just so funny to hear and think about. And the fact that they, you know, that was their insult, their go-to insult. Because they thought it was like the least mean sounding, you know?
I guess.
Because the asshole, you know, you don't want to, you don't want to go there.
Are you still saying ass?
Yeah, but you're not, okay, no. The Texas Rangers take the lead.
Oh, man. That's 3-1, right? Texas?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, kangaroo kick time. I love the kangaroo kick. He does his little paws. He stands there like a kangaroo.
Batista. It's Batista. He just, oh.
Oh, man. Oh, my lordy. Penned a world champion. Jay White has pinned Maxwell Jacob Friedman. We're not even going to get a big scissor at all.
This was supposed to not happen, right? This was supposed to be the alternative to WWE, but we just see the same crap every week. The champion loses via pinfall.
And then he's going to lose.
The challenger pins him.
Man. And that is AEW Dynamite. Jay White.
It's pro wrestling 101 for stupid stuff. I just don't understand the stories behind doing that. Why you make this part of every single story. Like, the champion loses.
You know,
they could have done
symptom
this
of lazy. Or we might still get a scissor. But it's a symptom of lazy storytelling in some respects. Oh. The ring has cleared. It's just MJF and Jay White. Jay White has the triple B in his hands. What is he going to do with this title belt? Is he going to smash it into MJF's face?
Is Roddy going to save him?
Roddy going to come out in the wheelchair? Really fast in his wheelchair?
Yeah, this is taking forever already. I'm already annoyed.
Get up, hurt. Let's go.
It's like, come on.
Oh, he's going to take a bullet for him. Max Caster takes one for MJF. It's always black person taking one for them white people. You got to save him. Let that man get hit in the face with that belt. That ain't got nothing to do with you, bro. That ain't none of your business.
He's going to scissor him while he's unconscious.
That sounds like, that doesn't sound good at all. That doesn't sound like something that should happen. That is not good.
Well, we're already at an overrun. 10:01 right now. So if my DVR stopped at 10 o'clock, I would see none of this.
Maybe we're just behind, man. Like you said earlier.
Oh, that's true.
The stream could just be behind.
But it cuts off. It would be really funny. Cable on. The stream is ahead of the cable.
Mm.
I have my cable on too.
It'd be really funny he reached out the scissor. That's really funny. Oh, he slapped it away.
I'm not doing it.
I was about to say, if he goes, like, you have the scissor right now, it'd be really funny. Now.
He took a belt to the face to get scissored.
He did, though.
Let's go. And Max is like, damn it, you're right.
He did, though.
He's got it. We're up. He's getting ready.
Oh, man.
He's going to go up to him and then, like, turn around and or just go past him, go out the ring.
Man.
Are we going to do it?
You want Max to get booed right now? Then that's what would happen.
No, he did it.
If you want Max to be a babyface, he has to do the scissor.
I feel like he would have been cheered no matter what, though. Like, he would have been booed, but he'd be like, hey, remember, I'm a scumbag.
People do like heel Max. Yeah. Why does Max cast it?
He's the one that got hit with a belt. Like,
okay. The way MJF shoved Max Caster away. Okay. That is enough. All right. And that is AEW Dynamite for November 1st, 2023.
We got all caught up on the wrestling biz.
We got all caught up.
It's been like a month. Like, playoffs started early October. So,
but we're back in the swing of things here on the Straight Shooters. But until next time, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
You follow me at _Pacone on Twitter for as long as it's there. also on Blue Sky, but you know, we'll see. We'll see when they have videos, gifts that they do not have right now. And check out PhillyInfluencer.com, FoxPHLGambler.com. All the podcasts you see there are brought to you by yours truly. Audio wise, you know, I cut the audio. I don't make the shows, but they're there because of me.
Nick taking credit for everything. I do it all. Presented by me, hosted by me, recorded by me.
There you
go. Edited by me. Paid for in part by me.
I'm done.
Okay, I just wanted to. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, you're an Eagles fan, you know. Check out my Merrill Sinks and basketball season. I do, you know, Sixers and Flyers too when it warrants it. So, just, you know, the Union are in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens.
There we go. There you go. I'm at Vaughn M. Johnson on X, as it's called now. You can find me there. Find me out here in these streets. You can find me. You can find us, I should say, on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheShootersPod. Subscribe for some exclusive content and make a request for a future deep dive. We will be getting back into the deep dives. I've missed the deep dives. We will be getting back into them very soon. But you can put in some requests. Patreon.com/TheShootersPod. You put in a request. We will fulfill said request and extra little bonus. We'll have you make a cameo on the show. You can hang out with us, your boys, on the Straight Shooters. Again, all you got to do is head over to patreon.com/TheShootersPod, and that could be you. You could be on the Straight Shooters next. So again, patreon.com/TheShootersPod. But until next time, for Nick Pacone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 374 of the Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.